order of the Transportation Committee at 9 minutes after 1. President is Senator Wilikowski, Senator Donnie Olson, and myself, Senator Kukesh. We do have two bills before us today, Senate Bill 105 and House Bill 102. We are going to hold Senate Bill 68 for the next scheduled committee time next week, I think it is. And just for the committee's information, we have a confirmation, joint confirmation on Thursday for the Department of Transportation. With that, I'm going to ask John Wise, who's a staff to Senator Lyman Hoffman, to step forward and give us a overview of the bill. We're at Senate Bill 105.
Again, my name is John Wise. I'm on staff, Senator Hoffman. Senate Bill 105 presented today is an outcome of Senate CS for CS for House Bill number 528 that was adopted by the legislature in the year 2002. In that piece of legislation, there was a number of capital projects for schools and boats and harbors. And the closing date for the harbor projects was June 30 of this year. And out of the list of the projects that were listed there, the only one that will not make that deadline date is Small Boat Harbor in Unalaska. And I think we have got other people here who can testify that will, that can explain what happened to slow up the process. But basically, that small boat harbor is being built in two parts. There's an outer harbor and the inner harbor part. The part that the state will fund for debt reimbursement is the inner harbor. We're still waiting today for the Corps of Engineers to finish the outer harbor so that the inner harbor project can begin. All the permitting has finally been completed for the outer harbor with the Corps, and I think this year they'll begin that project, and I'm not sure when it will end. But once they finish the outer harbor project, then the inner harbor can begin, and that's where the city of Unalaska will incur the debt for the project. The entire project is a $27 million small boat harbor. The inner harbor was $12,900,000, and of that, the state debt reimbursement in the bill in 2002 was $5 million.
Just to follow up on a question, you never dwelt on the main object of the bill, which is to an extension. Could you just expand on that just for a minute? This is an extension for debt authorization.
The extension, right? Yes. The Senate Bill 105, with the title "An Act Extending for Purposes of a Program of Debt Reimbursement to Municipalities, the Date by Which Debt Must Be Incurred for Small Boat Harbor and Providing for an Effective Date," essentially tries to name the only small boat harbor that's left in the original bill out of the list of projects that was there. So that's the intent of that title, and then the wording at line 11 and line 12, or if the debt is for a small boat harbor before July 1, 2012, is expected to extend the date from the original bill, House 528, which was June 30 of this year, to extend that date to July 1, 2012. And then the list of projects that's not in the Bill 105, but legal told me that they're still there because there's no change to that part of the bill.
Okay. Just for the record, I'd like to show that Senator Wilkin has joined us. Thank you very much. Senator Wilikowski has a question for you.
Thank you. Just so I understand this, this money was previously appropriated, and we're just extending the time that the debt is incurred until 2012. Is that fair to say?
Through the chair, yes. In 2002, a number of projects were allowed in the original bill, and this is the only one that has yet to be funded.
So there's no fiscal note for this, then? Zero fiscal note, in other words?
Through the chair again, that's correct.
Thank you.
Senator Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How many boats do you anticipate being serviced by the small boat harbor?
Capacity of the small boat harbor, once it's completed, is supposed to be 75 boats. There's another boat harbor in Unalaska that I think carries 60 to 65, and the total number of boats that are to be serviced is around 200. So once the small boat harbor is completed, it'll already be at capacity. A problem that they have now with existing small boat harbors, they do what they call rafting. You tie boats 3 and 4 out from each other. With this small boat harbor, this addition, they'll be able to probably, they may still have to raft one additional boat next to it.
Mr. Chairman, if I could continue, who owns the other boat harbor?
The city does.
The city does?
Yes.
Okay. And they're charging for these boat slips?
I don't know. Maybe when we get on the people who can testify, the city manager there, I think, will be able to.
And is that a map over there of the area that we're talking about?
Through the chair, yeah. Yes, and I think Ray Gillespie, who's listed to be one of the people to be heard here, will explain
okay.
better because he's been working with this project for the city.
Okay, thank you. That's all, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions for the committee? Let me ask you one question. Do you know, and maybe Ray can answer this better, if all the permits for the inner boat harbor have been obtained? If you haven't started work on it yet and you're planning to do that after the completion of the outer harbor, I just wonder if there's any permits. Well, maybe Ray can answer that.
I don't know if the inner harbor has been completed for the permitting process. The outer harbor, I was told, it has been completed at the cost of about $3.5 million.
Okay. Do you have any more? Are there any other questions?
Last question, Mr. Chairman. Is there going to be a waiting list after this boat harbor is completed?
For boat slips?
For slips, yes.
Again, through the chair, I think you'll have to ask the city manager when he gets on to see what process they follow. From the reports that I've read out on this harbor, it sounds like it's first come, first served.
Okay.
But when the weather is, when it's blowing 80 miles an hour and you need a place to park your boat, that's where they head there first. And then today, because they don't have sufficient harbor space, what I read in the reports, they're trying to find places behind small islands or small pieces of land that stick out from the main island.
Okay, if there are any further questions, I'll ask Mr. Gillespie to come up and take the chair. Would you just state your name and affiliation for the record, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. My name is Ray Gillespie. I'm a lobbyist for the City of Unalaska. I hadn't expected to testify today. I'm happy to share with you what information I have, but the city manager and the mayor of Unalaska, I think, are on the teleconference system prepared to elaborate on any detail the committee might need. I did, as John Wise said, provide this blow-up of the harbor. The green, I believe, is what's been described as the outer harbor, which I, again, the city manager can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that's the Corps of Engineers portion of the project, which has been delayed, and they can't do the inner harbor, which are the red floating piers there, which I believe are the city's part of the project. The green portion, the Corps of Engineers was delayed, and they can't do the inner harbor. The city can't do the inner harbor until the Corps finishes their portion of the project.
Well, let me ask, and you can just go ahead and keep your seat there, if we could have the mayor and the city manager
should be online, as possibly Carl Moses as well, who was the original proponent of this project when he served in the legislature.
I'll just go ahead and go down the list. Representative Moses, are you still online? Are you online?
He's there.
Carl?
You asking for Carl?
I am. I was wondering if you wanted, this is Senator Kukesh, I was wondering, and welcome to the committee. Would you like to make any comments on this particular bill?
That's correct.
Well, you're certainly, would you just state your name and affiliation for the record? I know who you are, but we need it for the record.
Yeah, this is Carl Moses, the has-been from District 37. as usual, I won't be taking much of your time. This project has been delayed through delays mainly in Washington, D.C., and environmentally, and no fault of the state or the cities on Alaska. The project is at least 40 years overdue, and it would be of great benefit to the state in providing safe harbor facilities to one of the most productive fisheries in the world. SB 105 is a great bill. Vote yes. Thank you.
Questions for Representative Moses? No, thank you. Senator Wilkin.
Carl, this is Gary Wilkin. I just want to say hello. I hope things are doing well in your new home, and we miss you around here.
Well, I appreciate that, and we're doing well here in Sandpoint, and things are working out well.
Good. Nice to hear from you, Carl.
Thank you. We should have, and I don't have titles in front of the names here. What would be the name of the mayor and the city manager?
The mayor is Shirley Marquardt. The city manager is Chris Laddick.
Okay, good. Is Shirley or Chris online, and would you like to testify? If you would, please identify yourself for the record and your affiliation.
Yes, this is Chris Laddick. I'm the city manager for the city of Unalaska. And I can respond. First off, there will be charges for the slips. This 75 boat slips were 125 feet and under, and there'll be a mixture of boats. But yes, there will be charges for fees, as there is in the existing boat harbor. There is a waiting list right now of about 40 or 45 boats. A lot of those are sport boats, but some of them are fishing vessels. We expect, we've done some preliminary economics on the inner harbor, and at little under two-thirds capacity, it will be self-supporting, and we don't expect any problems with filling the boat harbor. That everybody's been waiting for this harbor for a long time. We wouldn't be in the position that we're in right now if in Congress there was still a continuing authorities authorization, which used to allow the Corps to bid out a project if they didn't have enough money for it. Say if they had $1 million appropriation, they could do the design and get the bid docks ready and put it out on the street and award a contract. They can't do that anymore like they used to. And as I understand it right now, we're waiting to hear back from OMD about whether or not the project is in the queue for this year's budget. And I think Steve Boardman from the Corps is waiting online as well, but we're just waiting to hear. But even if we heard tomorrow, we couldn't have the bid documents ready in time for and obligate these funds by June 30. And there is probably at least one more permit that we'll have to get. We don't expect any problems with getting the final permits for the Inner Harbor.
Hey, thank you. Any questions from the committee for Chris? Yes, Senator Wilikowski.
What's your estimate on how much this project will cost?
I think it's at $27 million now total. That's with the Corps doing the outer harbor and the city doing the inner harbor.
What's the amount that you're requesting debt reimbursement on from the state?
$5
million. Just looking at the bill itself, and maybe this is the way they all are, it seems pretty open-ended. Do you have cost control measures in place so that there is some mechanism to keep it at $5 million or close to that?
Yeah, I think the original appropriation was simply for $5 million, so can't ask any more. The city's going to have a significant amount of funding in this and as well cover cost overruns with city funding. So in the event the bids come in higher than the engineer's estimate.
So the city will be covering all the cost overruns?
Yes.
Thank you.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Laddick, I was just checking to see what the operating and maintenance situation is, how you plan on paying for it, and if we can expect something from the state in the future as far as trying to keep up the harbor, as we've seen in so many other harbor situations where the state had actually turned them over to the city, and now that because of disrepair, There's been some question about it.
Through the chair, Senator Olson, we don't see any problems. We are maintaining our harbor facilities and not asking the state for money at this time. And I don't see a problem in the future. Our fees should cover the cost of operations and maintenance.
Last question, Mr. Chairman, has to do with security. Security has been one of those things after September 11th that's come to mind, and some of the issues related to shipping and cargo containers. What are the provisions for that, and who's taking care of it at this time there in I guess it's Dutch Harbor? Is the harbor in Dutch Harbor, or is it over in Onalaska?
It's Onalaska.
Okay, I'm sorry. Onalaska, then.
Through the chair, Senator Olson, the Port Harbor Department takes care of the issues with Homeland Security over on the cargo dock. So far, there aren't any regulations that I know of that are going to cover these fishing vessels. Most of them are registered in the United States, or almost all of them are registered in the United States. They have to be. And so I don't see any problems with Homeland Security in this facility. We have the issues with our other facilities where containerized cargo transships.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Wilkowski.
I have a question perhaps to the sponsor, but I'm looking at the original bill 2960-700, and it lists a number of different projects, and the bill that we're looking at doesn't specify this project alone. It talks about, in fact, in the title, talks about debt incurred by those municipalities for certain capital projects. This is the only project that we're requesting reimbursement for.
Is that?
I guess to the sponsor. Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else online that would like to testify? I have three or four other names here, and unless they have something really burning or new to offer, I'd like to give them the opportunity. Shirley or Frank Alpe?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this is Frank Kelty. I'm a resource analyst for the City of Onalaska. I was the former mayor and mayor when this project got started in the mid-90s, and I worked 30 years in the seafood industry in Onalaska. I would just urge the committee to move SB 105 out and on to Senate Finance. This is a very important project to our community, and as Representative Moses stated, is long overdue. This project was the seed of it came with Representative Moses in the early 1990s. As he stated, we had to go through two EAs and EIS, combination of funding, getting funding from the state, from the city coffers, and then still awaiting the federal dollars for the outer harbor to be done. This project is, as you know, Onalaska is the number one commercial fishing port in the nation. It has a wide variety of catcher vessels and catcher processing vessels that utilize our harbor facility. And, you know, I would invite you, I think we have, there's photos of vessels 5 and 6 deep at the city's mooring facilities and at the processing plants. And a lot of time, as you know, the weather is very severe in the Aleutians, and we've had many instances of lines breaking loose and tugboats having to push boats back in while crews were out on vacation. This is happening during November through March. Very tough time of year to have vessels moored up in this fashion. This project, I think, is going to be very important for a growing 60-foot under fixed gear fleet. As some of you may know, the North Pacific Council has granted allocations to the 60-under Peacock fleet that works out in this area, and also the jig fleet. We're seeing more increased effort in those fisheries. Summertime, we have the IFQ fleets that work out in the Aleutians and Bering Sea. And with rationalized fisheries that we have in crab and pollock, we're seeing longer seasons. And these vessels are taking breaks, longer breaks, since they can fish their allocation when they want. They need places to moor. And it's very inconvenient for the processing plants, and if the harbor, the city's harbors are full, there's many of these times these vessels have to go to other ports to tie up at a high cost of fuel and lost fishing time when they want to come back to the fishing grounds. So this is a project that I would that we should support, and we appreciate the state's support in the past. Representative Moses has always spoken on the importance of boat harbors and how they help fishery-dependent communities develop a local fleet, which in turn helps the community grow economically. I support Carl's statement that this would be a very important project for Unalaska and will help us develop a strong local fleet and help the fleet from other communities that work out in our area. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions? If not, I do notice that we have Stephen Boardman from the Corps of Engineers and Mike Black from the Division of Community Advocacy. Do either of you gentlemen would you like to make any statements or add anything new?
This is Mike Black. I have nothing to add. I just was available if there were questions that might concern the division.
Any questions for Mike Black? If not, thank you very much. Stephen Boardman, Corps of Engineers, do you have any comments you'd like to add?
Obviously, I'm here to answer any questions, but just so that folks understand, our FY07 work plan was received this morning, and unfortunately, funding for construction was not included. So we're going to still have to continue looking for funding.
Okay, thank you. Senator Olson?
Mr. Boardman was checking to see what that has to do with this project and the need, the acute need for protection for these small boats out in the Dutch Harbor on Alaska area.
Obviously, this delays the construction, the urgent need to get protected facilities in on Alaska. We have notified Congress of our capability of executing a project. So in case a supplemental appropriations or next year's appropriations were to occur, that funding would hopefully be received.
Mr. Boardman, if I'm understanding what you're saying, you're not anticipating any build significant construction to be happening until the summer of 09. Is that correct?
We're hoping that Congress will see fit to include this project in 08.
I guess I was asking a yes or no question as to whether, because of the funding delay in the fiscal year situation, that the construction probably wouldn't be happening until the summer of 09.
Well,
is that correct?
Funding in October of 2007 in the 08 appropriation, we could start construction in the summer of 2008.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions for Mr. Boardman? You want to take an easy looking up something? Or?
No. The only concern that I have is there are a number of projects that are listed in Section B, and I just want to make it clear that it is not my intent to have this apply to any other project than the Unalaska project, this Boat Harbor project. I just want to make that perfectly clear, and I don't know if we need to address that in this bill itself or not.
Senator Wilkin.
And I was reading, thank you, Mr. Chairman, I was reading that also, and so Senator Wilkowski pulled out the statute, so there's 8 or 10 items there. So this one happens to address that, let's see, right there, small boat harbor. And then there are others, and so there's not going to expand beyond that list. I think that's that's what I was wondering also. So this doesn't become an ability for just a bond reimbursement. So it's only, it's Valdez, Nome, Port of Anchorage, Mat-Su, Burrow, Deepwater Port, Unalaska, Small Boat Harbor, Aleutians East, Small Boat Harbor, Lake and Penn, Chignik Dock Project, Aleutians East, Burrow, False Pass, Small Boat Harbor, Fairbanks and Star Burrow, Eielson Air Force Base Schools, Major Maintenance and Upgrade, City of Fairbanks Fire Headquarters, which is now done, and Saxman Public Safety Building. So those are the ones that it applies to.
And for the record, we'll recognize that as
it may be good
as a limitation on this bill.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Governor.
I want to recognize for the record Senator Condrey. Thank you for joining us, Senator. Any other questions on this particular legislation? Is there anybody else online that would like to testify before we close public testimony?
Yes, please. This is Mayor Shirley Marquardt from the City of Unalaska.
Yes, please.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to weigh in on this issue. I guess I have to start off by saying I'm tremendously disappointed in Mr. Boardsman and his news. But I can assure you that the community and the City of Unalaska is going to continue to do everything in their power to move this project forward and to complete this long, long anticipated small boat harbor. I think some of the best points that were made already, salient points, is that we do have, it's been authorized, was authorized two years ago by the Congress. There's a completed chief's report. All of our environmental documents are in order. The city has money that we've set aside of our own, and we've also worked with the legislature in years past and through Carl Moses with your help. We're ready to go on our portion, but of course we simply can't do so until the Corps receives the funding for the outer breakwaters. We are ready to move forward as soon as that happens, and I can assure you we will be putting out tremendous energy and trying to get that accomplished here in the next year. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions for the mayor? No. Thank you very much for your presentation. We'll close public testimony. Are there any comments from the members of the committee? If not, Senator Wilkin.
Well, I guess I'll just go back to what we were talking about earlier. If I read the bill on line 10, if you deleted the words listed in B of this section, this becomes an open-ended debt reimbursement for DOT and public facilities projects. So I would just pass on to Senator Olson that might want to make sure that this doesn't become a bill that becomes very big, very expensive. So if you really wanted to make this bill do what it should do, then the project, then in the title it should be restrictive, but it's not. So.
Well, and Senator, that's why I made a statement that for the record, what you read into the record would be the understanding of this committee.
Yeah. Thank you.
With that, I'd like to move this bill today, and I'd really appreciate it if we could get a motion. Next committee of referral would be the Finance Committee. And we do have a CS, by the way, and it did make a change in the title. You can hand that with me. Do you have it? Mm-hmm. Let me see it.
CS for
you. I know I don't have it.
Did you adopt the CS?
No, we didn't yet. I didn't have it in my packet for some reason. But we need a motion to adopt, and that clarifies it, please.
Thank you. I move that we adopt the CS for Senate Bill 105.
Okay, is there an objection? Here no objection, then we'll adopt the CS for Senate Bill 105. What's the wish of the committee?
I'd like to make a motion to move this committee substitute for 105, Senate Bill 105, forward to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations with the accompanying fiscal notes.
Hey, is there an objection? Here no objection, then we will move that bill. Thank you very much. We'll take a 2-minute break to sign the document. back on record, and just for the record again, we're going to hold Senate Bill 68 for future consideration. So we'll be going to House Bill 102 right now, and I'd like to ask the sponsor to come forward and introduce himself for the record and give us his position on this particular bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Representative John Colgill from North Pole, and have before you House Bill 102, and thank you very much for hearing it. The genesis of this bill started when I was at Just Haircuts, and I was getting a haircut, and some guy comes in and says, okay, what am I supposed to do if I am come up to a police officer who stops somebody on the side of the road, and I slow down and pass him cautiously? What happens? I said, I don't know. I said, you're supposed to slow down and move over, aren't you? He said, well, they gave me a ticket for slowing down, and the law says you either slow down or move over. And he said, so the or is the big problem. And he got to court, found out that the law was unenforceable. And so there I was, tied down to a chair with a guy cutting my hair. And I said, I'll look into that.
Just committed fast talker.
That was, and I was for a haircut. But he was very upset because he got a ticket. And at that point, he had not won. I don't think he'd won the court case yet. But the fact is, we had a situation where we thought we had put into law that you slow down, move over. And the fact is, in law, we did not designate a single-lane highway issue. So the idea is you slow down on a single-lane highway, you move over on a double-lane highway. And so that's basically what this bill does. It just kind of cleans up what we really meant, I think. So I guess that's probably the crux of the bill, unless you want to go into the exact language of it. I think we have Dan Hoffman from Fairbanks who is willing to testify. And I think it was under his department that the ticket was given and found out that it was unenforceable.
Any questions for the sponsor? Yes, Senator Cowdery.
Just as you just said, enforceability is a problem now. As how the bill is currently written, does this change fully address that problem now, in your mind?
Yes, it does. I think we've gotten the fix. We actually got the police involved in helping us with the language. We had the bounce it off court, and it became clear to us that we needed to deal with both single lane and dual lane highways, which we hadn't done previously.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the sponsor? If not, thank you very much, and we'll ask Chief Dan Hoffman if he would like to make comments. The Fairbanks Police Department, are you online, sir?
Yes, I am.
Would you state your name and affiliation for the record?
And my name is Daniel P. Hoffman. I'm the Chief of Police for the City of Fairbanks.
Okay, would you like to testify on this bill or make any comments?
Sure, just briefly, and I think that Representative Coggill pretty much summed things up in a nutshell. The basic problem that we have is that the way that this initial statute was written, it basically gives people the option of moving over or slowing down. And by just having that or in there, and then without having any kind of qualifier after that, people always have the option of not moving over. And so the language has been proposed, instead of just saying or, it says that if a lane change under paragraph A is impossible, prohibited by law, or unsafe to do so, then it gives you that or option of moving over. So in other words, if you're going down a two-lane roadway and you'd like to move over when you see that police officer pull over, but you can't pull over because there's traffic in the other lane or there's a wrecked car in the other lane or something else that makes it unsafe to do so, then you're okay to simply slow down and proceed by cautiously. But if that left lane is free and clear, we want people to have to move over. There's nothing that prevents them from moving over. They should do so. And that's what this does. It just, as Representative Coghill stated, it just cleans it up, and it very specifically sets out the intent of the statute that folks should move over to give that extra margin of safety. Unless there's something that prevents them from doing so, then they need to slow down. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure who to go ahead and address this question to. Maybe best go to the sponsor. What about, is this just applying to those roads that are either built or maintained by the municipality or the state? Or does it apply to all roads?
I think this would apply to all roads where you had a circumstance where there would be a safety issue. So I think any place where you'd have a police officer able to enforce the law, I think this is another good reason why we wanted to bring in the single lane issue, because there are many, many places in Alaska where we don't have more than two lanes going in one direction.
Mm-hmm. I guess the question, Mr. Chairman, if I could, I guess the question I have on the North Slope borough, the roads up there are borough roads and are not state roads, and they're not municipality roads, and I'm wondering if this applies to those roads up there as well.
It would, and I would be open to counsel on this, but if you have a police force that is able to enforce this law, I think that's the case would be.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Questions? Senator Cowdery.
Yeah, just say on a two-lane road, one way each direction, if they pull into the, would there be a violation of a law to pulling into the oncoming, the left lane, in other words, the oncoming traffic?
I think that, I don't know that they would be in violation of this if their lane was clear, and I think that's why we wanted to put impossible. If there was oncoming traffic, we wouldn't want to give them any thinking that pulling into that lane would be safe. So on a two-lane road where you have opposite traffic going, it would be my thinking, and I'm open to counsel from the police officer, but that you would want to slow down and proceed cautiously in your own lane, especially if you could not see what was in the oncoming lane.
Yeah, excuse me, gentlemen, can I speak to this briefly?
Sure, go ahead, Chief Hoffman.
Yeah, the specific statute, this only applies to roadways where you have two or more lanes traveling in the same direction. We would never ask people, or certainly ask the legislature, to ask our citizenry to be pulling into oncoming traffic lanes. Again, the statute as it's written already addresses that it only applies where two or more lanes are going in the same direction, such as a divided highway. If you just have a two-lane roadway, this doesn't apply.
And just, Mr. Chairman, if you look on page 2, lines 4 through 7, it says with fewer than two lanes traveling in the same direction, then you would be directed by law enforcement, and that's kind of where I was heading at.
Mm-hmm.
Because there have been many times I've seen in a two-lane road where you have opposite traffic, where you'll have flares out and you'll be directed. So I think that's the safety issue there.
Okay. Questions for either the Chief Hoffman or for the sponsor? Okay, is there anybody else in the audience who would like to testify on this particular bill? Seeing none, we'll close public testimony, and it's my intention to move this bill. Is there any other comments or questions by the members of the committee? We have a motion then, Senator Cowdery.
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to move House Bill 102 forward to the next committee of referral, I think, is Judiciary, with the zero fiscal note asked for unanimous consent.
Unanimous consent has been requested. Is there an objection? Here none, then we so ordered. We have moved this bill on. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members.
Thank you. And we have no further business before this committee, so we are adjourned. Thank you.